Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
She had dreamed about her father plenty of times after he died, but none of those dreams had ever felt especially unusual. Sometimes he was simply there in the background, sitting at the kitchen table or standing in the garage the way he had when she was growing up. Other times they would be talking about something completely ordinary until the dream wandered off in the strange way dreams do. She might suddenly be back in high school, or the house would become someplace else entirely, and by morning, she could barely remember what they had been talking about. She liked those dreams because she missed him, but she never thought they were anything more than dreams. Her father had died unexpectedly from a heart attack when she was in her early 30s. He had been only 61 and was still working, still making plans, still the person she called whenever something broke in her house or she needed advice about something she probably could have figured out herself. They had always been close, and his death left a space in her life that took a long time to get used to. The first year afterward was when she dreamed about him most often. Over time, those dreams became less frequent, and eventually months could pass without one. By the third anniversary of his death, she had reached the point where remembering him was no longer tied entirely to grief. She could talk about him without crying, laugh about things he used to do, and even enjoy finding little reminders of him. Then she had a dream that felt nothing like the others. In it, she was standing in the kitchen of the house where she grew up. Nothing about the room looked distorted or dreamlike. The cabinets were the same dark wood she remembered. The clock hung above the doorway, and morning light came through the window over the sink. Her father was standing across from her. He looked exactly as he had before he died. Not younger, not healthier, not glowing, or surrounded by anything unusual. He was simply her dad. But what she remembered most clearly was his expression. He had always been easygoing, the kind of person who rarely raised his voice and usually responded to problems by telling everyone they would figure it out. In the dream, though, he looked worried. He kept his eyes on her and told her she shouldn't go the next day. She knew immediately what he meant. She had a work trip scheduled the following morning, a little over 3 hours away. It wasn't anything important enough that her job depended on it, but she was supposed to attend meetings with people from another office and plan to drive there early, stay overnight, and come home the next afternoon. In the dream, she tried to ask her father why she shouldn't go, but he didn't explain. He only repeated himself more firmly this time, telling her not to go. When she woke up, she lay there for several seconds without moving. The dream had been so clear that she expected the details to begin fading almost immediately, but they didn't. She could picture the kitchen, her father's face, and exactly where he had been standing. More than anything, she remembered the certainty she had felt when he warned her. It bothered her enough that she checked the weather before getting out of bed. There was rain in the forecast later that afternoon, but nothing severe enough to justify canceling the trip. The roads were fine, her car was relatively new, and there was no reason she could think of. For a little while, she considered staying home anyway, but the longer she thought about it, the more foolish she felt. She had dreamed about her father many times and had never treated one of those dreams like an actual message. If she canceled a work trip because her dead father had told her to in a dream, she wasn't even sure how she would explain it. By the time she finished getting ready, she had talked herself out of being afraid. She left shortly after 7, and the first half of the drive was uneventful. The sky was overcast, but the roads were dry, and after about an hour, she had mostly stopped thinking about the dream. She put on music, stopped for coffee, and even felt a little embarrassed that she had considered canceling. The rain started about halfway there. At first it was light, but within 20 minutes it became steady enough that she slowed down. Traffic was still moving normally, and nothing about the weather seemed particularly dangerous. She kept both hands on the wheel and told herself she would be there soon enough. She never saw exactly what happened ahead of her. A pickup truck several cars in front hit standing water and began to slide. The driver overcorrected, sending the truck sideways across 2 lanes. The car directly ahead of her braked hard, and she did the same. For a second, everything happened at once. Her tires lost traction, the car began to rotate, and she remembered seeing the concrete barrier coming toward her before the impact. The next thing she clearly remembered was sitting sideways against the median with the airbag in front of her and rain hitting the windshield. Her ears were ringing, and pain shot through her left arm when she tried to move it. Other drivers stopped, someone called 911, and within minutes, police and paramedics were there. She was taken to the hospital and quickly learned how lucky she had been. Her wrist was broken. She had a deep bruise across her chest from the seatbelt and several cuts from broken glass, but nothing was life-threatening. Her mother came to the hospital to take her home. She didn't mention the dream at first. She was tired, medicated, and still trying to process how quickly an ordinary drive had turned into an accident. It wasn't until they were almost home that she finally told her mother what had happened the night before. Her mother went quiet for a few moments. She didn't insist that the dream had been supernatural or tell her that her father had saved her. She simply asked why she had gone. There wasn't much of an answer beyond the obvious one, because it had been a dream. For weeks afterwards, she replayed both the accident and the night before it. She knew there were plenty of reasons to dismiss the connection. People dreamed about loved ones all the time. Accidents happened every day. And her father hadn't told her where or how something would go wrong. Still, she couldn't forget the way he had looked at her or how certain she had been that he was warning her. Eventually, life moved on. Her wrist healed, she replaced the car and went back to work. The accident became something she talked about less and less, although every so often she would think about that kitchen and her father standing across from her. For a long time after the accident, she couldn't decide what she believed had happened. There were days when she was convinced her father had somehow come to warn her, and others when she told herself the dream only seemed important because of what happened afterward. If she had made the trip safely, she probably would have forgotten it within a week. That was the argument she came back to whenever she felt herself leaning too far towards something she couldn't explain. Still, the dream never faded the way the others had. She remembered the kitchen, the look on her father's face, and the feeling that he had come there for one reason. It became one of those experiences she didn't talk about often because she had no idea how to explain it without sounding either completely convinced or completely skeptical, when the truth was that she was somewhere in between. Her mother was more willing to believe there had been something to it. She never pushed the subject, but every once in a while she would mention that maybe her husband had simply found a way to get through when it mattered. Her daughter would usually change the subject, partly because she still wasn't ready to decide whether that was what she believed. Over the next 2 years, she dreamed about her father occasionally, but those dreams went back to being ordinary. Sometimes he was sitting in the house where she grew up. Sometimes they were at a family gathering that had never actually happened. Once she dreamed they were driving somewhere together, although when she woke up, she couldn't remember where they had been going. None of those dreams felt like the warning, and that distinction became important because when the second one came, she recognized it almost immediately. Her mother was still living alone in the house where she and her siblings had grown up. She was in her late 60s, healthy enough to manage on her own, and stubbornly independent about it. Her daughter lived about 20 minutes away and talked to her several times a week, sometimes every day, depending on what was going on. There had been no recent health scare and no particular reason to be worried about her. On a Tuesday night, a little more than 2 years after the accident, she went to bed shortly before 11 and fell asleep quickly. Sometime during the night, she found herself back in the same kitchen. It wasn't simply a similar kitchen from another dream. It was the same one. The light was coming through the window above the sink exactly as it had before. The clock hung over the doorway, and her father was standing in nearly the same place. The moment she saw him, she knew this wasn't one of the ordinary dreams. His expression was serious again, but this time there was something more urgent about him. He looked toward the hallway that led deeper into the house and then back at her, before telling her to get her mother out. She asked what was wrong, but he didn't answer. He simply repeated that she needed to get her out of the house. When the dream ended, she woke suddenly and reached for her phone. It was 2:17 in the morning. For a few seconds, she sat there trying to decide whether she had truly heard the words as clearly as she thought she had. But the memory of the accident came back so quickly that she felt almost embarrassed she was hesitating. 2 years earlier, she had been given a warning and ignored it because it was only a dream. She called her mother and got no answer, then waited perhaps 30 seconds before trying again. The phone rang until voicemail picked up. Her first thought was that her mother was simply asleep, which at 2 in the morning was obviously the most likely explanation. Her mother often left her phone charging in the kitchen, and there was a good chance she couldn't hear it from the bedroom. For a moment, she almost stopped there. Then she remembered her father telling her to get her mother out, and this time, she got dressed. The drive took less than 20 minutes, although it felt much longer. She called twice more on the way and still got no response. The entire time, she was arguing with herself, trying to balance the fear from the dream against the very real possibility that she was about to wake her mother in the middle of the night for absolutely no reason. When she pulled into the driveway, the house looked normal. There were no flames, no smoke coming from the roof, and no sign of anyone moving inside. The porch light was off, just as it usually was, after her mother went to bed. And for one brief moment, she felt foolish again. Then she opened the car door and smelled something. It wasn't strong, but it was enough to make her stop. It smelled electrical, almost like burning plastic, and she hurried to the front door and used the spare key her mother had given her years earlier. Inside, the smell was stronger. She called for her mother as she moved through the living room, but there was no answer. Nothing looked obviously wrong, which somehow made the situation more frightening. There was no smoke filling the rooms, no fire alarm sounding, and nothing that immediately explained what she was smelling. She found her mother asleep in the bedroom, and it took longer than it should have to wake her. When her mother finally opened her eyes, she seemed confused and groggy. And her daughter didn't waste time trying to explain the dream. She simply told her they needed to get outside. Her mother protested at first, insisting she felt fine and asking what was going on, but eventually allowed herself to be led through the house and onto the front porch. Once they were outside, her daughter called 911. The fire department arrived within minutes, and at first, even, they didn't see anything obvious. Then one of the firefighters went toward the attached garage and found a wiring problem behind one of the walls. The wiring had begun to overheat and smolder, and although there was no open flame yet, insulation around it had started to burn. The situation could have become much worse before morning. Her mother had slept through all of it, and the smoke alarm nearest the garage should have sounded but hadn't. By the time everything was made safe, the sun was beginning to come up. Her mother sat beside her in the driveway wrapped in a blanket, watching firefighters move in and out of the house. For several minutes, neither of them said much until her mother finally asked what had made her come over in the middle of the night. This time, she didn't hesitate. She told her exactly what had happened. Her father had come back, and this time she had listened. Her mother believed her almost immediately. Maybe that was because of what had happened 2 years earlier, or maybe because she had spent more than 30 years married to the man who had appeared in both dreams. Whatever the reason, she didn't try to explain it away. She simply listened while her daughter described the kitchen, the way her father had looked toward the hallway, and the urgency in his voice when he told her to get her mother out of the house. What struck both of them was that the dream had happened in the kitchen of the family home, not in some random place her mind had created. Her father had known every inch of that house. He had repaired things there, remodeled rooms, spent weekends working in the garage, and probably understood the quirks of the place better than anyone who had ever lived there. For the first time, his daughter didn't immediately argue with her. The fire department had caught the problem early enough that most of the damage was limited to the wall and wiring near the garage. An electrician later told them that the circuit had been overheating and could easily have developed into a much larger fire. There was no way to know exactly how long it would have taken, but nobody suggested that waiting until morning would have been a good idea. The faulty smoke alarm bothered her almost as much as the wiring itself. Her mother had tested the alarms months earlier, but the one closest to the garage had apparently failed sometime since then. It was replaced immediately, along with several others in the house, and her daughter became much more careful about checking them whenever she visited. For several weeks afterward, the two women talked about the dreams more than they ever had after the accident. Her mother wanted every detail, particularly about how her husband had looked. She asked whether he seemed frightened, whether he spoke differently, and whether he had stayed long enough for his daughter to say anything back. The answer was always basically the same. He hadn't come for a conversation. That was one of the things she finally realized separated those two dreams from all the others. In ordinary dreams, her father behaved like part of whatever strange story her sleeping mind happened to create. They might talk, drive somewhere, or sit together without any particular purpose, and by morning, most of the details would already be slipping away. During the two warnings, there had been nothing unnecessary about his presence. He appeared, told her what she needed to know, and was gone. She also began thinking differently about the first warning. For years, she had focused on the fact that she ignored it and ended up injured. She had wondered how different that day might have been if she had simply stayed home, and sometimes she still felt foolish for talking herself out of what had seemed so clear when she woke up. After the second visitation, though, she began to wonder whether the first experience had prepared her for the second. Had her father appeared only once, telling her in the middle of the night to get her mother out of the house, she might have reacted exactly as she had before the work trip. She could have checked the time, reminded herself that dreams could feel incredibly real, and gone back to sleep. Even after her mother failed to answer the phone, she might have assumed she was sleeping soundly and decided to call again in the morning. The accident was the reason she didn't. She still wished she had listened the first time, but she no longer thought of that mistake, only as something she regretted. It had taught her how different those dreams felt and how quickly she could talk herself out of trusting something she couldn't explain. Her mother remained in the house for several more years, and nothing similar happened there. There were no unexplained voices, strange shadows, or other signs that her father was somehow lingering around the place. That fit with the way his daughter had come to think about what happened. It didn't feel like a haunting. She continued dreaming about her father from time to time, but those dreams returned to being the ordinary kind. Sometimes she woke smiling because she had seen him again, even if she could barely remember the details by breakfast. She never confused one of those dreams with the other two because the difference was immediate. Years passed without another warning, and eventually she stopped wondering whether one might come. She didn't want to spend her life waiting for something bad to happen simply because her father had reached her twice. If anything, the experiences left her with a strange sense of comfort. But she also knew that if she ever found herself standing in that kitchen again, with him looking at her the way he had those two nights, there would be no hesitation. She wouldn't check the weather. She wouldn't spend an hour trying to explain it away. And she wouldn't tell herself it was only a dream.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.